Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The image of this good shepherd is near and dear to our hearts. We rightly have this picture on walls, in houses, in churches, and even in schools. A lamb is resting on the shoulders of our Lord. This is good, but it can also lead to a sentimentalized view of it, that we end up caring more about the gentle embrace, the tender smile, and the beautiful scenery. Nothing wrong with such things, for they teach us the care and the love of what Christ has done for us. But we can often love them at the expense of his hands. As Jesus describes himself as this good shepherd, he says this: he lays down his life for the sheep. Pierced hands, a punctured side, a bleeding brow. The cross and resurrection are bound to the image of the good shepherd. You cannot have one without the other. He is not good because of his morality or his perfection or his divinity. He is good because of what he has accomplished within the sheepfold. In Gethsemane, all others fled. He did not. He did not rally the sheep and encourage them to mount a counterattack against the wolf. He simply stepped in front of them, stood in their place, pierced, crushed, beaten, bruised, bloodied, battered, dying in the place of we who had sinned. The shepherd is the Savior. Willingly, he lays down his life. No one forced him to go through with this. No one made him do it. He willingly gives up his life so that man might have life. So the good shepherd is the high priest who offers that sacrifice for all. The good shepherd is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world so that forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation might be preached in his name. The shepherd is good because of what he has accomplished by those hands. It is that death that gives you life. It is that death that gives you joy and hope and peace. It is that death that fills you with all the goodness of God and rescues you from sin and saves you from hell and protects you from the wolf. It is that death of Christ alone that is your hope of salvation. So the shepherd must continue to be good. He must rise on the third day so he can continue to be your shepherd. Not suffering and dying, that is finished, but giving you the blessings of that suffering, that death, that life that he won. And so rightly does Jesus elsewhere say, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Rescued from the very abyss of hell, the shepherd has brought you into the heights of heaven, where you have joy and peace and safety and gladness now and forevermore. This is what it means to know Christ. Knowing is far more than an intellectual knowledge or a mental exercise. The way we know Christ is equated to the way that the Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father. Yes, the Father can pass a catechism test on his beloved Son. He knows all the facts and the details, but that knowing is more than simply knowledge. That knowing is a union. The Father and the Son are united together as one, one God, one essence, yet three persons. They share a mind, a will, a heart. It is one and the same, for they are united together. The will of the Father is the will of the Son, and that will is revealed in the hands of the Son, pierced for you. The Father, too, desires to save the world, and he saves the world through his beloved Son. And it is in that way that you also know God. You know him not simply by being able to pass a catechism test on who Jesus is, but you know him because you are united to him. You share in his life, his death, his resurrection. All that he is now given to you, and all that you not are is taken up into him. It is through faith that you are united to Christ. It is through faith, not knowledge, that you have union with Christ. His life flows through his word into you so that you might have joy and peace forevermore. The shepherd is good because you are now redeemed and you share in the life that he has won. You know the heart, the character, the will, the desire of your God. Yes, he is a sovereign, omnipotent God who knows and does all things, but he will not simply do all things. He will do whatever is for your good. He will be your merciful, loving Savior. That is, he will always be good to you. Whether you see and feel it or not, he will always be good to you, for he has proven himself by his hands. He lives so that this might be your reality, that you might have life and have it to the full. A life already being manifest in your life, a life that you cannot possibly fully comprehend until the day of the resurrection. So to know the Lord is to partake in his redeeming work and to live as the redeemed sheep of Christ, united to him through faith. This is most clearly expressed in the Holy Communion. As you kneel at the altar of our Lord, you are not filled with knowledge, you are filled with his body and his blood for your salvation. Here you know him in the most intimate of ways, in a way that the word does not give, for you eat and drink him who is your Lord and Savior. Here are the green pastures that he leads you to. Here is the overflowing cup that you love to hear about in Psalm 23, a new cup in a new covenant, always present for you, always poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Here you are fed the very body and blood of a Lord, a God, a good shepherd, so that you might have union with him and partake in his suffering, his life, his death, his resurrection, his peace, his joy, his comfort, his glory. You belong not simply to yourself. You belong to Christ. And you are united to him. And that joy will be complete. You are also united to one another. You are not individuals. Yes, you have different lives. Yes, you have different careers. Yes, you have many differences, but you are united to one another, and that is also most clearly confessed in this Holy Communion. Here you know one another in the most intimate of ways. Whether you know the facts, details, the history, the life of each other, it becomes irrelevant. What you know about the other is this: they are the sheep of the Good Shepherd. We belong to them, they belong to us, for we all eat of the same bread and we all drink of the same cup. Here we know one another not simply as father or mother, son or daughter, but as the redeemed of Christ. Here we know one another not simply as friend or neighbor, but as those bought with the blood of Christ. Here we know one another not simply as a failure, but as one forgiven by Christ. Not simply as a sinner, but as one sanctified by Christ. Not simply as one whose body is betraying him and is gradually slowing down as life ebbs away, but as one filled with the life of the risen Christ. We belong together. Because we belong to the one shepherd, we belong to one another. One flock, one shepherd. The wolf still prowls. Christ indeed has defeated him by his cross, but he still prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So you must learn to recognize where this wolf is found, not by with your eyes, but with your ears. False doctrine is not the voice of your good shepherd. It is the teeth of the wolf. And every false teaching, whether we are talking about who Christ is, what he has accomplished, or how it is given, or we are talking about how the world was created and what men and women are, every false doctrine makes Christ less good. Every doctrine is united to Christ. And you may not be able to see why this doctrine is important, but what it does ultimately is hold up Christ as the good Lord and Savior. So stay away from all of it. I echo St. Paul's warning when he writes, "I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve, your thoughts will be led away from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Daily you are tempted to love something more than Christ. Maybe it's your country, maybe it's money, maybe it's your health, your life, maybe it's your family, your spouse, good things of God. But daily the wolf tempts you to love them more than Christ, to have peace with them at the expense of peace with Christ. Daily you are tempted to fear something more than Christ. Whether it's death, whether it's your children rejecting you, daily you are tempted to trust in something more than Christ. You have but one shepherd. And though the temptations will come, the shepherd continues to stand between you and that wolf with those pierced hands that has already secured the victory for you. So do not listen to the hired hand. Do not be a hired hand. For he will only flee when the wolf roars, or whatever wolves do, howls. The hired hand is not one who is loud. The hired hand is the one who is silent. The hired hand refuses to call sin sin. The hired hand won't warn you, won't protect you, won't call out sin, won't condemn a government, won't tell his children he is wrong, he won't pray with them, he won't speak to them, because he's just too busy with other things. The hired hand is the one who cares nothing for the sheep, even though he calls them son and daughter and gives them every good earthly gift. The hired hand is the one who cares nothing for the sheep, even though they take care of mom and dad in their old age. Because they silently let the sheep be consumed by the lies of the wolf. The hired hand refuses to speak. The hired hand is a coward and a wimp. Would you follow such a man into battle who cannot point out the enemy? So don't be such a man. Don't be the coward and the wimp who refuses to speak the word of God to your children or to your friends. For the sake of what? Earthly peace? Don't be the one who refuses to pray with your wife or your children simply because your days were too busy and you're tired. Don't be the mother who lets her children grumble and complain simply because. Be the voice of the Good Shepherd. So yes, this is mostly about pastors, but it's also about all those whom God has called to a position of authority within your vocation, that you would speak this word clearly and rightly. For wherever the word is proclaimed rightly, there you hear the voice of your shepherd, whether it's from a pulpit, by a bedside, in a classroom, or in a car. Likewise, wherever you hear lies is the voice of the wolf. Whether it's on a screen, on YouTube, in a car, or in a classroom. Recognize who alone is the Good Shepherd. And then as God has called you, speak that word clearly to those who are under you. So yes, you are right to love this image of the Good Shepherd. You are right even to treasure that beautiful scenery, that gentle embrace, and that tender smile. Because your Lord loves you and he is good to you. But above all, you must treasure those pierced hands. And if the image, the picture that you have in your house of this Good Shepherd doesn't have pierced hands, then I will let you borrow my permanent marker. Or maybe just hang a cross next to it. So that you might remember always that Christ isn't simply a shepherd, but he is a good shepherd who carries you to this altar so that you might forever share in his life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.